Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. As we continue to dissect election 2010, I want to bring in Kyle Malin, editor at MERS Newsletter and columnist with City Pulse. Hello, Kyle. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Jack?
I am fine. Any surprises for you last night?
You know, I think the biggest surprise for me is how the Michigan House flopped over from a 67-43 majority for the Democrats to a 63-47 majority for the Republicans. That was a swap of 20 seats, something I wasn't expecting. I certainly wasn't expecting 9 Democratic House incumbents to get booted from office, and yet that's exactly what happened. We had races that we weren't even keeping an eye on at all come in for the Republicans, and actually, Jack, it came close to being 10, and 63-47 is where the Republicans were at back in 2005, 2006. Just an amazing turnaround. Also, you know, I was a little surprised with Wahlberg. We keep hearing about this Republican surge, and we knew that it was coming. The pendulum was going to swing back.
Right.
I thought that Schauer had done enough to insulate himself a bit from that, but as it turned out, no, and we're going to get Tim Wahlberg back.
Yeah, and a lot of people had said not only had Schauer taken the lead, but that the lead was growing. Obviously, they didn't talk to the people who voted.
No. You know what I found out from talking with folks is that the degree that the Tea Party folks actually did have out there communicating with folks, getting forums together, and raising awareness about the candidates. And, you know, Tim Wahlberg was a candidate that was endorsed by the Tea Party. It was very big in southern Michigan, the rural areas. And I think Jackson also played a big role in this election. Jackson County came up big for Tim Wahlberg. That was an area that had actually swung in the Democrats' favor in 2006 and 2008. They elected 2 state House members who were Democrats. This time they swung back the other way. They voted Republican overwhelmingly. They dethroned Marty Griffin from his House race and then put in a Republican to succeed the late Simpson. So it was a very big turnaround and a very big win for the Republicans, and maybe even bigger than I expected.
Were these a series of personal referendums? Were they about policy, or were they about the mood of the year? And if that's the case, is there anything that Mark Schauer could have done short of switch parties to keep his seat?
No, I don't think so at all. I don't think there's anything else he could have done, honestly. You can't say that he didn't spend enough money, because God knows he spent enough money. You can't say he didn't have enough commercials on the air, because certainly he had enough of those. You can't say that, maybe he could have not voted with Nancy Pelosi. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe. Mm-hmm. But then again, you know, at the time, you got to think about what the mood of the country was and what the time was. And at the time, we felt like we needed to get ourselves out of this recession, and we needed to maybe get some stimulus projects going from the federal government to help get the economy moving. And really, the 7th Congressional District was a beneficiary of a lot of that spending there with the with Interstate 94 and so forth. So, you know, you can't even really say that. So maybe the health care vote. But then again, you know, the mood of the country was a pendulum swing. We had a big push for Democrats in 2000, 2006, and 2008, just swung back the other way this year.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit about Rick Snyder and his transition team. Doug Rothwell, CEO of Business Leaders for Michigan and also a former chief of staff for the governor of Delaware, is going to head up the team. Also joining that is his wife, Sharon, who was chief of staff for John Engler, and someone I know fairly well, former Grand Valley State University president, Michigan State vice president, and the president of Meyer Incorporated, and that is Mark Murray, who's also former state budget director and state treasurer under John Engler. What do you think about the team that Rick Snyder's putting together?
Well, he's definitely tapping into the knowledge of the Engler administration, no question about that. And he's also trying to get some folks who are knowledgeable with the process. You know, obviously, all those folks that you mentioned, the Rothwells and Murray, have ties with Republican governance. But the other thing is, too, they know their stuff. which I think you can't really underestimate. I mean, say what you will about the Rothwells, they're very brilliant people.
Yeah.
So is Mark Murray. And so he's putting in place folks who are like him, folks who are very intelligent and policy-minded. You know, Doug Rothwell, for the last year for Business Leaders for Michigan, has been trying to develop, I think, an agenda on how to move the economy forward. I mean, he's been thinking about this for some time. He is going to be able to bring some ideas to the table and have a knowledge of the process. I think it's going to really benefit Snyder. I mean, you know, the knock on Rick Snyder has been that he's a bit of an idealistic folk. You know, maybe he doesn't know exactly what he's getting into. And I think Rothwell is going to be able to bring him back to earth is the right words, but I think he's going to tell him maybe the process that's involved and help him understand what's going to need to happen in order to get everything done that he wants to get done.
The results last night that we all saw said what about Jennifer Granholm?
I don't know if the results said anything about Jennifer Granholm, but what I will say is I think the public has somewhat forgotten her. She was absent this entire election. She did nothing for Virge Pinero. She gave him $1,000 there in October when the race was already over, quite frankly. You know, she didn't want to have a role in this election. And maybe it was a conscious effort on Virge's part that he didn't want to be associated with her. Maybe he thought that that would be a drag on his numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, I don't know how they could have been any more of a drag than what already was going on. You know, and maybe she felt like she was helping him out by not being engaged. You know, I think she was more interested in helping define her legacy in the last 4 months or 5 months or six months by doing what she could by going to Europe, going to South Korea, going wherever, to try and bring some jobs in Michigan. I think she was more concerned about doing that than making sure that maybe the Democrats would keep hold of the chief executive office and really maybe looking down the road and saying, you know, I could do everything I could possibly do, and it's not going to really matter much. So let me do what I can do, which is use the power of this office while I have it to make things better for the state.
The last numbers I saw, Kyle, and we talked with Bernie Porn of Epic MRA about this early in the week, Jennifer Granholm had the lowest favorability of anyone surveyed, and Barack Obama was slightly better. And believe it or not, Virge Bonero was slightly better than that, although still not nearly good enough. But as you think about Virge Bonero and returning to a job that most people seem to think he's done pretty well in light of Lansing's growth, do you think we're done with him on the national level or a statewide office like this?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, you got to remember, Virge Pinero is only 48 years old, and in politics, it's still pretty young. So I think we're going to see Virge Pinero again. I don't know exactly when. It could be 3 years, could be 4 years, it could be 6 years. But I think in at least 6 months to a year's time, people are going to look at Virge Pinero and say, you know, really, looking at it, you know, from 5,200 feet up in the air, and with some time passed, he really took one in the chops for the Democrats.
Yeah.
You know, he really took the bullet for us. Nobody else wanted to run. We knew that we were going to get beat. It didn't really matter who we were going to put up. Could have been John Cherry. Could have been, Dan Kildee. It could have been, you know, it could have been Barack Obama. I mean, it could have been any Democrat.
Wouldn't have been any different with Andy Dillon, you say?
It would have been different with nobody. The Democrats weren't going to win regardless. Mm-hmm. So what Virge did is he brought a lot of energy to the ticket.
Yeah.
He really fought hard. He really put out some issues. He gave Rick a run. He got some excitement on the Democratic side. He at least got the base fired up. And, you know, he really, in retrospect, didn't do a bad job. And so going forward in 4 years, if Snyder falls on his face and the mood of the country changes one more time, there's nothing saying he can't go out and give it another run. And let's say the congressional maps change drastically. I mean, we are going to lose a seat next year.
Right.
So maybe there's going to be some maps that work to his advantage. I mean, that's a possibility, too. And who's to say that he doesn't stay as mayor for, an extended time, even though that's not, you know, what his resume is, and certainly would be against what he has been throughout his political career the last 12 years, which is kind of climbing the rungs upward.
Whoever would have guessed that someone could use the city of Lansing to rehabilitate their political life and breathe some oxygen into it. But, hey, if you are the seventh city in the nation now in terms of job growth, as the surveys indicated a couple weeks ago, then maybe that is indeed a path that he could take. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it, as always. You want to let people know about what you're writing for City Pulse coming up?
Well, actually, I talked about this very subject about Burge's political future, and I talked with Bill Ballinger, John Trescott, Kelly Rossman, and some others, and kind of explored the subject, what his avenues are going forward, and the fact that he isn't tainted by this whole process, that he isn't going to be in the political scrap heap, and I think he's probably, in the end, earned some brownie points.
Kelly Rossman will be here co-hosting the first hour Friday, and we'll have Bill Ballinger on. We'll probably refer to your piece.
All right. Very good.
Thanks so much, Kyle.
My pleasure.